Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another session of our study series, True Prosperity. And today's subject is quite interesting. The root of all evil is the love of money, not money itself. But the love of money. Now we thank the Lord for His word. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify you. We give you all the honor and the glory. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the revelation to deliver your word. And thank you for those listeners who put their heart in the truth. Your word says, you shall know the truth. And that truth will set you free. We speak correct utterance. And we speak that those spirits and hearts are attentive to receive the truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we speak it. And thank you that your word is blessed and brings results. Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's where I'm going to start. Now I want you to see something here. We're going to read from verse 3 to verse 10. 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 10. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knows nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men to corrupt minds and destitute the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw themselves. Now I'm going to pause here to explain a bit on this before continuing reading. If you remember in our last two sessions, I mentioned how there are people who unfortunately have taken a biblical message, a complete gospel, for example, here. If we speak of salvation only, that gospel is not complete. Because inside of the gospel, which is the good news, we also have healing. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:24. Notice what it says here, 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Here we see salvation, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look at it here, by whose stripes you were healed. So the gospel also provides healing. The death and resurrection of our Lord provides us healing, but also it provides us material things, things that we need here on this earth, and not just ourselves, but not just for ourselves, but specifically to advance the kingdom. In 2 Corinthians, now before continuing where we were at, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Well, there are people who God bless them, but on one side, we have a big section in the body of Christ and people, I'll speak pastors here and evangelists or teachers, preaching that this is referring to spiritual riches. They want everything to be just in the spiritual. There's no material, there's no physical thing. On the other side, as I've also mentioned before, and from there, I'm grabbing from these verses one of the things that says here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, the last part.
Estábamos hablando en la sesión.
from such withdraw themselves. So, as I've shared here, people have converted a biblical and pure message of prosperity where you can bring freedom to that person who is poor. Poverty is a curse. And if you've followed me for a while now, I try to explain the best that I can. And the reason why is, over the years, if I were to say something, perhaps in a local radio that I was in for a couple years, when I would say this, people would say poverty is a, and I would say people that poverty is a curse. Christians themselves, not the world, Christians themselves, especially pastors, would say, oh, that man, referring to me, that man is saying that if you're poor, you're cursed. I was never saying that. I was saying that poverty in itself is a curse. It's part of the curse of the law. Study the Bible. For example, curse of the law is tripart: spiritual death, illness, and poverty. Study the book of Deuteronomy 28, from verse 15 onward. And you'll find poverty is a curse. It is not a blessing, and it does not come from God. Now, of course, unfortunately, there are people, there are preachers, many, who have taken that poverty is a curse and have taken these truths and have preached prosperity, so much prosperity, and what they've implemented, and it may seem that it is that way because they emphasize a lot, and I always say it this way, in homes and in cars and things. And every time that I say it, I like to clarify, God wants you to have houses, cars, and things. God is not against that. God is not against that. What He is against is that the cars and the houses and the things have you. So some preachers, or many of them, to this day, are preaching not prosperity, biblical financial prosperity, but they're preaching materialism. Like the world, it's just give so that God can bless you, things of the sort. Give and God will give you the car of your dreams, and send an offering to this ministry, and create a covenant with God, and He will save your grandmother who hasn't been saved yet. And it may seem as if you're buying the miracle or buying what God has already given you by grace. So then, Brother Hughes, what's the correct way of receiving this? Well, it's here in the Bible. You see the first two sessions. One of them, I spoke on the relationship with God. And I'll explain here, if you give me that opportunity, all of you who are listening, be it via television, radio, or on the internet, or if you hear this on a CD or in a USB memory, or wherever it is that you hear it from, pay attention. Because Word of Faith Ministries, we will not try to entertain you here. We will train you. We will make a disciple of you. Grab that disciple that's inside of you and bring it out, so you can know what your position in the body of Christ is, to what God truly called you to do, and how to confront the things of the daily world, and how to confront your enemy, who is Satan, and how to grab that believer, that disciple that's inside of you. So, unfortunately, some are preaching materialism. And if there were some evangelist, some prophet, some teacher, some pastor, or someone speaking prosperity, biblical prosperity, a financial prosperity that is biblical, in a balanced way, in a way in which you can trust, than do to these other people. These wolves dressed as sheep, they will attack us as well and put us in the same category. They've placed me in the same category of those who preach that false message of prosperity, which is materialism. For example, I preach a lot in the area of the grace of God, but there are people who are preaching a false grace. Instead of preaching freedom in Christ and who we are in Christ due to the grace of God, some are preaching debauchery. And what they do is dilute the true grace of God, and diluting it so much to where it is no longer true grace but false grace. Same as many have preached a false message of faith. As, oh, just declare it. Declare that that woman is yours. Declare that you'll get married with that man. Declare that car that you pass through a house, and I call it mine in the name of Jesus by faith. Well, you don't know if the owner is going to sell that house or not. Suppose the owner of that house is a believer in Christ and is guided by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is still telling the owner of that home, extend your house more, make some other bedrooms, that in the future you can leave this house of an inheritance to your children so that they can sell it or something. And you're saying, no, it's mine in the name of Jesus. I believe in claiming things. You claim what is written. You claim the promises of God. But there are certain things that you cannot proclaim just because you need direction of God. That is a correct message of faith, a correct message of grace. That is the correct message of biblical prosperity. And that is what Brother Hughes preaches. And that is what Word of Faith preaches, a biblical balanced teaching in which you can trust. Evaluate it with the scriptures. You have the Holy Spirit. At least pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues. Let the Lord give you guidance on this. Because if I were some crook cheater who was just trying to buy you your money or cheat you out of your money, then I wouldn't even tell you that. But I tell you this in confidence. Pray on us. Pray and ask the Lord to reveal the heart of Brother Hughes and Word of Faith Ministries. Telling you in confidence, which is why I preach this in confidence. Listen to the first two parts, and they'll minister to you of this series. It'll give you a different perspective, a different light. Before listening to anything else, say, Father, speak to me in the name of Jesus. Reveal to me. Teach me. If Brother Hughes is teaching me the truth, and if it is that way, then reveal to me. Make me understand these truths. Because I'll teach you everything with the Word of God. I will not grab verses out of context. For example, I mentioned 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. And people try to spiritualize it. Those who say, oh, Jesus was poor, therefore you have to be poor or something of the sort. But look at its context. Read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It's speaking of giving and offerings. And there is a purpose of why God wants you blessed and prosperous. Look at this principle that I'll be sharing with you. You cannot give what you don't have. You cannot help someone else. You cannot be a blessing to someone else if you yourself do not have anything to give. If you don't have for yourself, how are you going to give someone else anything? And then the other thing of what I spoke on the other point in our first session of our relationship with God, if you do not have that relationship with God and you don't spend time with the Lord, you'll never understand the unconditional love of God, and you'll never be able to apply that unconditional love to anyone else. The average Christian is selfish. They think on themselves. The average person who calls himself a Christian, unfortunately, is constantly thinking on themselves, constantly thinking in their own future, in themselves, in what they want, in what they'd like to have, and then they complain for what they don't have. and they are just involved in themselves. They get wrapped up in themselves. And what happens is they create a very small package. When you get involved in yourself, wrapped up in your own self, you create a very small and miserable package. When you have that relationship with God, you will not have issues from hearing from the Lord when He says, bless this brother in Christ, bless this brother from the church, help this sister. And you and I will not help anyone to manipulate. No one owns us anything. God is our source. Nothing of, oh, well, I'm going to help this sister out or this brother out and wait for them to do something for me. Then it's not an unconditional love. It's not even love at that point. It's just a conditional love, and it should not be that way. That's only in the world, but not between us. If that brother, if that sister wants to respond to that blessing and wants to be grateful with you, that's on them, but you can't manipulate it. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 6. Oh, whoa. Just till here, I've given a good amount of information. Very good information. If this doesn't produce a spiritual fire in you, it's because your wood is too cold, is too wet. Talking spiritually here. And there are Christians, God bless them, but, oh, Brother Hughes, well, 3 years ago, I remember that I didn't have anything, and a person came and bought me some groceries for the week. That was 3 years ago, imagine. There are Christians who, my God, that's how they live. And glory to God for that good memory, for that good testimony. But an old squirrel every once in a while can grab a nut. Your life, if your life is not sufficiently spiritual, it is very superficial. You need to see the goodness of God every day. Every day we should see the goodness of God and the provision of the Lord. In different measures, perhaps, in small areas and bigger areas. But every day we should see. But if you're molded to the world, in Romans 12, Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And with the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Change your way of thinking. You were born again. You have the Holy Spirit. Now let the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, change that way of thinking. Don't go back to the same habits, to the same way of thinking and speaking and expressing yourself. Glory to God. Change your way of thinking. God has greater things for every single one of us. Now, 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to continue reading from verse 5. Useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourselves, those who preach a false message of prosperity. Verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. In that same verse, in the New Living Translation. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. contentment in itself. You are content, but you will not stay in that level. The Bible does not say that you have to stay in that level. And people read these verses and have misunderstood them. And for that reason, we literally, brothers and sisters, this is not to criticize. None of you should misunderstand what I'm saying. But we have millions upon millions of Christians who, in their majority, live in poverty or live in lack, or just barely hanging in there, in a so-and-so state, and a so low state sometimes, because they never have enough. And the reason they don't have enough is because of their way of thinking. First of all, they think that the Lord Jesus Christ was poor, therefore they have to be poor. The other reason is because they only see the cross, the finished works of Christ Jesus, just for salvation. And they confuse eternal life. They say, oh, eternal life, there in heaven in the future, when I pass, I will have eternal life. No, eternal life starts now. It starts here, and it has to do with a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen, literally. Eternal life starts from the moment that you're born again. And there you start that relationship with God. Verse 6. Now help me with the New International Version. Man, what good information. That's true that with true religion, I don't know, that one isn't the best translation there. Now in 1 Timothy 6:6, if you could put it in English for me, in the New King James Version. Now godliness. Now godliness, to understand this word godliness in a practical way, everything that refers to God and the things of God, a practical way. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Now verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, people use these verses to say, oh, you don't have to have anything, just have contentment because you have Jesus in your heart. That's a half-truth. And if you start preaching or believing half-truths, over time what you will create is lies. Now, of course, your true pleasure is because you have been born again, you are a child of God, and because God loves you unconditionally, and you are joyful in it, and you delight yourself in the Lord. But you do not stay in that level. As you develop your relationship with God, the word starts growing in your heart, and you can't avoid it. You'll prosper. But because you have the Lord, you will prosper, and you will have things, and the things won't have you. You'll have things to enjoy them. For example, I live here in Douglas, Arizona, and I drive up until Dallas-Fort Worth. It's not the same. I don't remember exactly, because I've done it maybe 14 hours, 16, 17 hours, to drive in a brand new car that has all luxuries in it, then go in an old car where I'm struggling, where I'm having to go under the limit, where I don't even have air conditioning or heater, where the car is very uncomfortable to drive in. There's a big difference. So glory to God if I can go in a brand new car, with all the luxuries that brand new cars come with now. That's just to enjoy, but I don't put my sight on the brand new car. Amen. I can go in first class and in first class flight, and or I can go in a private jet, be there for an hour. Now I'm gonna if I were to even go in a in a bike or in a motorcycle, I'm going to arrive. I will arrive very tired and make much more time, but I'll reach it. But there are ways of doing it. And the money gives you certain luxuries. But we cannot put our sights on that. Our sight should be on our relationship with the Lord and in extending the gospel and helping other people. And while we're doing all of that, what am I referring to? While we're doing that, what am I referring with that? What I just mentioned right now. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm still developing my relationship more with the Lord. I'm seeking to know from Him more. Now, in Philippians 3:9, he was talking about something very interesting. This is all so good. I'm going to have to start seeing in verse 1. This is all just so good. Oh, Brother Hughes, you give so much Bible. Well, giving you Bible meant many Christians can barely even make it. They don't even know what to do anymore. Full of issues now. Imagine if I don't give you Bible. Read from verse 1. Philippians 3:1-10. Now, by this time, Paul was a very mature preacher. He wasn't anyone new. The things of the Lord, he had given fruits of his ministry, of his apostleship. He was a spiritual father for many. He was a tremendous leader. He wasn't anyone new, is what I'm trying to refer to. He wasn't a novice. He wasn't a rookie in these things. He was someone with experience in the ministry. Now in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. Now, those are very strong words that he used for those who promoted the law and circumcision and having a relationship with God based on dead works. Very dangerous. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Again, I could speak hours on just the first three verses. I could go to other parts here of the Bible and give you hours and hours. And this is tremendous information. But now this applies to what he was speaking a moment ago of these false prophets or these false messengers who start preaching a false message of prosperity or preaching materialism. It's just all egocentric for them. It's something for them. There is no heart connected with God. There are people who one more time just think on themselves. In their desires, in their own dreams, and what they are believing God for. And there's something good in that. But not everything is good. In part, we do have to believe the Lord for things. And we have likings, and if we wanted to have more things, the issue is one more time. One more time, it's the emphasis on the things. Things where if you buy the latest model TV and it'll end up in the dump. Am I saying you shouldn't buy the latest television or you shouldn't have the latest iPad or the latest phone or the latest car? No, in no way. I'm not preaching that. Actually, God wants you to have the best, the latest. I'm preaching that there are people who are in debt in this moment. They got in debt because they said, oh, I am of prosperity. I am of faith and prosperity. And they got in debt. I don't condemn anyone if you're paying off your home or your car, but it's not the perfect will of God. It's not the perfect way of getting in debt just to show someone off that you have faith, that you believe in prosperity, and that you're in debt. and you don't know how to pay off those things. And apart from that, you haven't been a blessing in the kingdom of God. You can't give anything, because if you end up giving something, you give a tiny little thing, not because it's the level that you're in, but because you don't have anything to give. Now, I don't want to sound rude or disrespectful when I say you just give a little thing, but they give little because there are people who will give little because they're in that level. They're starting off in the Lord. Perhaps they don't fully understand everything. Perhaps they don't have enough and they're believing the Lord for more, for that seed. Because the Bible said the Lord gives seed to the sower. But what I'm sharing is there are people who should already be in another level. When we give, farther ahead I'll explain this in greater detail. And some would even want to, but they can't. And they're frustrated and they say, oh, this doesn't work. This prosperity doesn't work. They hear me speak and say, oh, another one of those who just wants to take away my money. They're frustrated. But that's why I'm speaking this, to help you. All right, I passed the time now. Some of you need this first announcement. Share this announcement. Share the whole teaching, please, with someone else. I'll return.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's word is impacting you.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Amen. I want to thank all our faith partners and friends of Word of Faith Ministries. If you are not a faith partner of Word of Faith Ministries, consider being so and help us to take the words via television and radio to different parts around the world. About 90% of our material is gifted. So consider, if you are constantly extracting information from Word of Faith Ministries, consider helping us. I won't dare to tell you how much to give. It's between the Lord and yourself. And you'll be sowing in a fertile ground. But at least evaluate it. Pray on it. If the Lord tells you not to, then no. If he does, seek someone else to whom you can associate yourself with. Because it's good. It's good to help someone else and to take the word to different places around the world. But truly do it in faith and in direction of the Lord Jesus above all. I should say first, seek the direction of the Lord. And then do it in faith. Amen. So beforehand, I thank you all. Now, I was explaining how there are people who simply are in debt because they misunderstand and get frustrated and say, oh, another one of those preachers that speaks about money. But if you notice, I've made more emphasis in that relationship with God than anything else. Now I'll continue reading or studying there where we were at in Philippians 3. Now I'll start reading verse 4. The Apostle Paul said, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, Paul is saying, well, some of you boast in what you are in the flesh, or because you're a Jew, or because you're this, this, and that, of this tribe, speaking of the tribes of Israel. So he said, although I also have in which I can boast about. Verse 3 saying, and having no confidence in the flesh, although I also might have confidence in the flesh, as to say you yourselves as well. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, more so I. He was making a comparison here, or at saying here. If you have confidence in the flesh, well, I do as well, and perhaps even more. But his emphasis was, do not trust in the flesh, trust in who lives in you. Verse 5. Now he started sharing why. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, according to the law of Moses, of the line of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Continuing up until verse 10, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, no one else as zealous as Paul. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now our righteousness is based on Christ. But what things were gained to me, then I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss. Loss here, I esteem all as loss, as to say that as something harmful, that I consider them harmful for me. Let me remind you something else of the Apostle Paul. Apart from being everything that he said here, a Pharisee, circumcised, tribe of Benjamin, the Apostle Paul, he worked for the Roman government. He had a comfortable position. And nevertheless, he left all that behind. He left that fame, the power behind. He left that position of authority that he had. He left it all behind. And he shares it here. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. Oh, he inserted here. Very important. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He could have said our Lord, but he said my Lord. Indicates a relationship, an intimate relationship. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That term rubbish is as excrement, or sounds strong, but that's what it is to him. To gain Christ, verse 9 and 10. And be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him. Here, after Paul, by this moment, was a tremendous teacher by this point, well recognized, with a tested and proven ministry, proving that he was an apostle of Christ. One more time, he wasn't anyone new in this. And he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being confirmed to his death. Even now, the method of Apostle Paul, I'll say it that way, the vision for the Apostle Paul, his mission was to continue knowing him more, developing that relationship with him. How many Christians do you know that way? And there they are, just fighting like rabid dogs of those of false grace and of giving the first thing that they do, apart from preaching debauchery. The first thing you can identify is they're going to preach against tithing, against giving. Yeah, I personally, I believe that tithing is honorable. A Christian should practice it. But when you understand this of what I'm preaching here, that relationship, you don't just stay with the 10%, but to the next step, but no one obligates you. It comes out of your heart. Because God is first. If we understand this, it'll be much easier to practice it. Of a series after series after series of prosperity and giving, and don't misunderstand. I believe it. I've done it. I will continue doing it. And I'm saying that it's much easier for me. It's much easier, in my opinion, to understand that unconditional love of God, to have that relationship with the Lord. It's to know Him. The Holy Spirit is inside of us to help us to know the Lord more, and His Word. And you can join now that personal relationship with Him, with His Word. And when you see and read His Word, the written Word is alive, becomes alive before you. Talking the spiritual, the inside out. You see things and test it. You're like those Coca-Colas where you shake it, and it wants to start burning out. It's inside of you. Say, wow, glory to God. Thank you. And when you have the money, you're not fighting against if tithing is of the law and if we don't have to give anymore. And even if you did, God loves you the same. Those people have not understood. They use that as an excuse of saying, oh, no, you don't have to give. God loves you the same if you give or you don't give. And I've known Christians, even here in Douglas, where you'll speak to them about them and say, no, I don't have to give. God loves me the same. But you see their lives, they look like heathens. They see all types of trash on the internet, on television, things that are not for them as children of God. They speak all loosely. They live however they want. They give a terrible testimony. Forget about giving. They won't even give you a good morning. Because they use that false grace. They use grace for their own benefit, but they don't even understand it. Therefore, when they end up talking about grace, or a family member of grace, they're speaking a false grace. If you're going to use the grace of God, as true grace of God, as an excuse, it will make you more generous. You're not fighting against if it's of tithing or not. Either you will practice tithing, but normally you won't even practice the tithing, not because you don't believe it. But now you'll take to the next step. You'll go beyond the 10%. You'll be ultra generous. You'll be a better believer. You'll pray more. You'll make confessions of faith, but convinced, fully convinced of what God did, glory to God. And you'll be a better server. You'll arrive earlier. You'll arrive earlier at church. And if you serve, you'll be of the best helps in the ministry. Your pastor won't even know who to recognize, because he'll say, wow, everyone here are great at serving. You'll take care of what you speak. You'll guard your mouth. You'll guard what you're speaking, what you're saying, even what friendships you have. If you sin, it'll have to be on purpose because you won't even want to sin. You won't have the desire to sin. For example, when someone tells you, oh, what's wrong? I noticed that when your presence is here, it's as if you're in another place. Literally, you'll be in the third heaven the majority of the times, in the spirit. Man, how good he is, how in the natural. When we met our wives when we were dating before and just constantly, we were in class constantly thinking about her. You just think of getting out of school or work to shower and go and visit her. And this is still greater than that. Because this is spiritual. This is a love that is born out of the most profound parts of our hearts. And when you understand it, you'll be a person who gives honor to someone else. If God placed your pastor, through your pastor, he will speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will show you things. Using your pastor, you will honor your pastor. You'll honor your spiritual fathers. It won't be of, as people will tell you, you adore him as if he were God. No, it's an honor because the grace of God taught you. God will be priority above all. As there are people who have a job, who have a business, and they put time in it, in the business, in their job, and that's fine. They're diligent. That's fine. Not necessarily wrong. But they invest not just money, but they invest time. Invest dedication. Doesn't matter how tired they are. They're going to go to their business. They're going to go to their job. They're going to take care of what they have. They'll make an effort. Well, when you understand the true grace of God, when you understand that relationship with God, eternal life, you are delighted. You are with that. You are waiting for that seed, as the Bible says. You are waiting that the Lord will give you that seed. That you are waiting to get paid and say, Lord, how much do you want me to give? Because it says, the Bible says in Romans 8:14 that we are guided by the Spirit, and it's good to be guided when it comes time to giving. But 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, everyone gives according to what is placed in their heart. And I believe that the best way is to be directed. But if you don't ask God, from you yourself, you say, my God, I'm going to give 20%. I'm going to give 25%. I'm going to give 30%. I've known people. Yeah, by the grace of God, and I thank the Lord for it. I've known people, I believe, the same as I do. And they're generous. They're generous. They are business people. They give the 20-30%. They started with the 10%. It's good to start with the 10%. But as they understand more and more and seek from God, they give the 30, the 40, the 50%. Now, Brother Osmar Jimenez from our church in Tucson, he didn't give me the amount, but he said, Pastor, you know what? I saw what I gave last year in 2024. And wow, I was very generous. But Patty and I, his wife, we were very generous. But then I thought about it and I got a bit sad. I could have given more. And I smiled because these are types of people that they say, wow, They're so in love with God and of His Word that even in numbers, it may seem that you gave a lot. In reality, you gave very little. You know what? That's how they are. This is our vision, our true vision in knowing Him more. In knowing Him more. And I've known people like him who are generous, but said, I could have been more generous. They make an effort in the Lord. Notice how they're not trying to please the Lord and saying, oh Lord, what you know. A direct ticket to heaven. On the contrary, they did because they are already saved. They have that salvation assured in Christ. Hallelujah. This is so precious. Understand that this is great. Oh, glory to God. In 1 Timothy, chapter 6, I haven't been able to reach verse 10 yet. We were in verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, this doesn't mean that you're conformed to just saying, oh, well, I'll just reach here and that's it. Well, once I retire and they do a head count and start thinking, oh, well, as long as they give me my check, my little check. Everything is little and tiny for them. That's how they talk. That's their ego only. They're only thinking on this. Just as long as I get my check, I'll make it. And they're very miserable people. They just think on themselves. They're very selfish. They never think on someone else. They never think that someone else could be saved. And not just saved, but renewing their minds. That they come to the complete gospel. That's the word of the complete gospel. To the truth of the gospel. The whole gospel. And the truth of the gospel. What I'm preaching. And I always want to go out running. Glory to God. Now 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and in it certain we cannot carry nothing out. In other words, we just come with nothing, and the day that we leave, we'll leave with nothing. Doesn't matter what, that they bury us in a coffin of gold. Doesn't matter. We're going to leave with nothing, and they put a nice suit on us, that they comb our hair, and question the days that body starts deteriorating and rotting. That's it. If we were born again, we're in heaven. But we are present in the Lord, not conscious of our bodies. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Again, but it's not saying just conformed with it. You always does not say to never believe the Lord for anything else. Apostle Paul here was saying, based on what he also spoke in the book of Philippians, based on that relationship with God, have content. But in that content, in that state of being happy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. I'm in the New King James Version. Having food and clothing. If I were to translate it from the Spanish to English, with these we should be content. one more time. Content in that moment, in that level. That relationship with God, Nubia and I are content in the level that we are in right now. We're not frustrated. We're not sad. We're not discouraged. Because it's our relationship with God that holds us up. For believing the Lord for more, for us. Not necessarily, but to extend the kingdom of God. But while you wait, you love the Lord, you seek the Lord. And when you seek from God, eventually, it will guide you to seek from the things of God. My God. And I've repeated it for years now, and I'll continue repeating it. Because there are still many people who do not understand, including people who come to this church. Still some of them, perhaps not all, but some of them, God bless them, but they struggle. It's religion. Religion is something tremendous. Now, hold on a moment here. I don't know. Religion is a very difficult spirit of removing. Not impossible, but many have a lot of religion still rooted in them. Oh my God, time is so much to say. Psalms 37, verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. You'll feed of that truth. Delight yourself in also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. There's no wrong in asking for desires or petitions. There's no wrong in it. Oh, Brother Hughes, it's because I desire so much to have this car. I'd love to have this other car and this other house, or to fix up my house in this way. Is there wrong in it? No. If first you delight yourself, if first God is first in your life, if you've been generous in the gospel, then while it comes, in that eternal life, in that moment of thinking of the Lord and on His word, in praying, you spend time praying in other tongues. And every time the doors are open of your church, you're there to believe in the Lord. Oh, glory to God. To learn more of His word, to know Him more while you wait. You're so stuck in the Lord and so conscious of God that now the Spirit of the Lord Himself puts that desire in your heart. Because He says, Lord, I want you to have that car. I want you to have that house. I want you to remodel your home and to make it bigger. He would say, son, tear this house down and bring up a new one. Amen. And you're not fighting with that nonsense. I've seen so many Christians sometimes, not that I seek them, but I've known some of them. And some others have separated from their mentors of the faith. What foolish people, what ungrateful people. But I'll leave it there. It's not for me to judge. That's on them. That's on God and them. Glory to God. Amen. And I didn't even reach the verse that I wanted. But in our next session, we'll continue because this is true prosperity. One more time, because some are still have that doubt. So Brother Hughes, someone told me. So Brother Hughes, we no longer believe in prosperity as before? No, of course we do. We no longer believe in having things? Of course we do. What we've never believed on is that things should have you. It's for that reason. I don't say to condemn anyone. Forgive me if I'm speaking that way. It's because the joy wins me over. I don't say it to condemn anyone. And I don't say it to make anyone feel bad, but to bring clarity. To bring understanding. For that reason, some of you, God bless you, God loves you, God bless your hearts, but oh, such foolish little heads, some of you are in debt Some of you, unfortunately, have to continue the messes of the world. If not, oh, they're going to take away your house and they're going to take away your car. That means it's not yours. You take this away and the other away. And you have to take care of your children. And because you've spent too much, because you said in past times, oh, I'm of faith, I'm of prosperity. God wants you to have those things, but perhaps some of you would that perhaps that would already be your house if it, because it's already paid off. You paid it for it cash. No one could get you out of there. You understand? And what of some other person that says, oh, Brother Hughes, because I've also been asked this question, Brother Hughes, but I'm still paying off my house and my car, so what do I do? Or do I not have faith? No, it's not that. I didn't say that. If you're in debt, if I could give you some advice, seek from the Lord. The Lord will guide you. But many times, God will guide you in such a practical way, and that's where people just don't want to follow. What if the Spirit of God, for example, God led Nubia and I, not just Nubia and I, but many people, praise the Lord, because they've shared it with me as a testimony, where the Spirit of the Lord suddenly said, don't travel, don't go out on vacation for 10 years, and I'll teach you true prosperity. I'll teach you how to negotiate. I'll teach you how to prosper in the way of the Lord. And never stop giving in the kingdom. But I'll give the resources. And he told those other people as well. They focused on that. Don't be a good administrator. And the Spirit of the Lord started guiding them. And a pair of people, maybe two, three people that come to mind. I taught on being good stewards and said that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to them through that teaching of being good administrators of what we have. Well, I'll leave it there. It's too much information. Thank you, Father. Did you receive? Did you learn? Joyful. We give you now the opportunity to give this moment. Respond now by faith. I leave you with this. Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. True. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.